Hi, this is Meredith Eisenberg with the Launch Ladies, and today I'm very privileged to interview Susanna Rinderle.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi, Susanna.
Hi. Thanks so much for the opportunity to chat with you today.
So what is it that you do, Susanna?
I help people communicate effectively across differences and translate their good intentions into positive impacts. And I also equip organizations to create inclusive environments where brilliance and excellence flourish. And I do this through coaching, training, facilitation, and consulting for the most part.
Okay, so who are your typical clients?
You know, what kind of makes my clients typical is that they're not typical.
Okay.
And that may sound like you've heard it before, but I really mean that in the sense that typically these are people who are kept up at night by the disconnect between who they believe themselves to be and how they're coming across, whether as an individual wanting to communicate something important to a group in a speech environment, or an individual like an employee or a boss or a colleague, or it can be an organization that wants to be communicating more effectively to their own employees or to their clients or to who they're serving. And so basically it's people with good intentions that are having negative impacts, or people that aren't maybe having, people or organizations that aren't having negative impacts yet, but they're not achieving the levels of brilliance and excellence that they want to be achieving. And a lot of people and organizations don't realize that being able to communicate effectively across differences and create inclusive environments are really oftentimes that missing piece.
Okay, so what would some of the symptoms of this be? How would you know that you're not coming across as well as you think you should be?
Oftentimes, it's not, you're not getting the results that you want. So in a one-on-one communication, it could be anything from getting a strange feeling that you stepped on someone's toes, just getting a sense that it's not getting across the way you want to get it across. It can be inside yourself in terms of feeling very anxious or nervous or uncomfortable with what you have done already or what you're going to be doing.
Oh, yeah, well, that's horrible. Like you, and I know what you mean. Like you say something to somebody and then you realize, oh, your stomach lurches.
Yeah.
Why did I say that particular thing? Because obviously I have struck a nerve.
Yes. And noticing that feedback is the first piece.
Right.
But often people, they know they sense there's some kind of problem or disconnect. They just don't know how to address it or even why. And sometimes it's not even that clear or that overt. It could be something as subtle as your team is not performing up to standards, or you're not getting the results that you want to be getting or that you know you can be getting or that you're being held accountable for getting in a larger organization. It could be a larger organization noticing that a particular demographic group or just demographic groups in general are not buying the way they used to, not engaging the way they did. Maybe they're disgruntled in some way. So it can be a variety of things. It's either a disconnect between the status quo and excellence, or we're not even meeting the basic.
And what are the clues that it's a communications problem?
That's a great question, because I work in D&I, or diversity and inclusiveness, as well as communication, sometimes clients will find me because they think they have a diversity emergency. Because
what is a diversity emergency, Susanna? That just, to me, that just seems really foreign, you know. But
yeah, it does. It sounds strange. And nobody says that necessarily. That's how I interpret it. You know, they will have, for example, I can give you a recent example. There is an employee in a small organization that happens to be a person of color, African-American in this particular case, and they're working with mostly white people and Hispanics, and their leadership is very concerned because this particular employee is doing behaviors that's not working well for the organization. Okay. And so they think it has something to do with this person's race, or they're afraid that they might file some kind of an EEOC lawsuit or something like that, when in fact the problem might be just poor leadership skills on the part of the supervisor with
or
this individual.
Or poor training, right.
Or poor training, poor onboarding, something that's more along the lines of leadership that may look like it has to do with race, ethnicity, language, gender, sexual orientation, and it may not be.
Right.
Conversely, sometimes I also get calls for communication emergency, which is actually a diversity problem.
Aha!
So,
okay.
You know, for example, we are not, we're just, healthcare is one of the areas I work in.
Mm-hmm.
So I work typically in the corporate world, healthcare, nonprofits, and local governments, and then sometimes education. So in healthcare, for example, there's a crisis, broadly speaking, in the U.S. of hiring younger workers.
Right.
Well, it's not so much a question of we're not communicating effectively as much as the way we've been communicating is no longer connecting with Generation Y, with our labor pool that's under 30 for a variety of reasons. So they may think it's a communication disconnect in terms of their messaging or their emails or their advertising, but it's actually a diversity issue because they are losing a specific demographic.
You know, I actually had never thought of it that way, like diversity as far as different generations.
Yeah.
Like when you say diversity to me, I think about, oh, I'm white, she's black, or really, you know, most of the places I've lived nowadays, it's people are all mixes of everything, and so I think of that when I think of diversity. I don't think of the ages, but you're right, like I had an intern once and I couldn't talk to them, or him and her. I had two of them, and it was just really weird, because whatever I tried to say, it seemed like it just didn't go through their head very well, so...
And the two go together. So communication and diversity and inclusiveness go together. And I think it's important to talk about what diversity is because, like you just pointed out, the word diversity in the United States in a lot of ways has become a proxy for a race.
Yes.
So when people hear the word diversity, they think of race, ethnicity, and color. And it is all of that. A lot of the field of diversity and inclusiveness, now that we're talking about inclusion and inclusiveness, people are starting to kind of forget the diversity piece and kind of pretend that it's not about race.
Right.
I'm a big believer in it is all of those things, but it's also a lot more. It's about sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, generations, geography.
Oh,
is
yeah.
a big one.
Oh, yeah.
And then the international piece as well. I mean, increasingly, we have the international and the local and the global are not disconnected increasingly. And so people that are doing this work have to have competencies in the international
way
that this shows
it's
up
so
and the local.
Well, right, because it's so easy. I mean, I think even back like 7 years ago, right, talking to someone in a different country was sort of a thing. You know, like you had to kind of arrange a time to talk on the phone. Now with Skype and email and Facebook, it's like seamless. You know, it's not nearly as big of a deal as it used to be.
Yeah.
And so now people are working with people in different countries all the time. Like we recently put out a proposal that was sort of being managed by some people in the UK, and it was just sort of part of normal business. I mean, that's just kind of how things are. And so it's really interesting. The world is changing. And geographically, you know, I've lived in a couple different places. And the four places I've lived in the Washington, D.C. area. I've lived in Utah. I've lived in California. And I've lived in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Those four places have very different cultures in and of themselves.
Yes.
And if someone had grown up in one place... To all of a sudden be, you know, someone's from New Mexico is all of a sudden working very closely with someone from Washington, D.C., that's a disconnect because
big
tomorrow,
disconnect.
Today, and right now mean very different things.
Yes.
You know?
And I love what you pointed out about the technology because these advanced technologies are so widespread now, it kind of tricks us into thinking they're like me.
Right.
Because they're using the same technology. And when I worked at a professional level in Mexico, that happened a lot with visitors from the United States and Asia, that they would walk into, this was high tech at the time, they would walk into the facility and the building would look very much like they were used to back home.
Yeah.
The workers and the professionals would be dressed in Dockers and button-down
shirts. Yeah.
Many of them were, you know, educated in the United States or in Europe and spoke English great. So they weren't getting the same nonverbal and subtle cues that these folks are really different. So there would be even more dramatic disconnects because you make more assumptions that there's similarity.
Right. You know, and a lot of, throughout my career, a lot of my clients and people I've worked with, I've never met.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like my first job, I was, quote, managing a consultant in Hungary who was from Montana. Mm. And he had this total deadpan voice. And I thought the man hated me because he was so sarcastic.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean you can't find peanut butter in Budapest? And I'd be like, oh, no, I can't find peanut butter in Budapest. I need to find it. So then he finally comes to visit the office, right? And he talks, and he has a little twinkle in his eye when he says this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I get it now. You don't hate me. You're playing with me. Okay.
And that's the other thing that's important.
And that's fine.
Yes. Well, and if you think about the history of the human species, we've spent tens of thousands of years developing highly honed communication systems that are mostly based on nonverbal cues.
Right.
Most of which are outside of our conscious awareness.
Right.
So when you're using mediated communication like the phone or even Skype, you're cutting down the availability of data that we've used for tens of thousands of years.
Right.
So it can contribute to even more misunderstandings.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is really fascinating, mm-hmm. Susanna.
Thanks.
So somebody decides to hire you. What makes you different from the other people who do the work that you do?
Oh, that's a great question. There are a lot of great people doing the work that I do. I think what makes, and for me, it's more a belief around good fit. Right. Mm-hmm. So what makes me a particularly good fit for the right clients is the combination of international and domestic experience mm-hmm. I was talking about before. Mm-hmm. I've traveled and lived and worked extensively outside of the U.S., particularly Latin America. And I've also spent many years looking and working in diversity issues as they show up in the U.S., which is mm-hmm. unique. I also have, this has been something that I've been living in my personal life since I was 5 years old. So mm-hmm. I bring a lot of very rich personal experience. I've studied it at an academic level. I have a bachelor's degree in sociology with a race and ethnicity focus from UCLA. Mm-hmm. And I have a graduate degree in intercultural communication from University of New Mexico, which mm-hmm. is known worldwide for its department. And have done research and published academic articles on this. And then I've worked in it professionally for about 20 years, both in the U.S. and abroad in a variety of industries, like I mentioned. I think something else that makes me different is that I'm a whole-brained person,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
meaning that I use both of the hemispheres of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very rational. I'm very detail-oriented. I'm very kind of realistic and practical, mm-hmm. and I bring that to the table. But I'm also very big picture, visionary, creative, intuitive. So I bring both of those. I talked a little bit about the diversity of my experience. Two other things. One is that I have been a consultant twice in my career, but those other times I've been employees in organizations. And my last role was in a large organization starting and running their diversity and inclusiveness office. So I actually know what it's like to be in an organization mm-hmm. doing this. So I have both sides of the coin. And then finally, I think what makes me unique is that I don't do a lot of out-of-the-box, off-the-shelf, check-the-box solutions.
Right.
I'm really interested in working with people and organizations who want to get at the actual root of the problem
right.
and solve it.
Right.
So I think I have a really good skill set for really getting to the bottom of things instead of just throwing a training or something at the problem.
Right. Well, so someone were to hire you, what would that look like?
I typically do a four-step process with anyone that I work with, whether it's a one-on-one or large, huge organizations. And first is some kind of assessment, and that could mm-hmm. be anything from a short phone conversation to a large-scale, you know, survey and focus groups mm-hmm. and observations mm-hmm. and all of that to really figure out what the problem is. Next is recommendations. You know, this is sort of like if you use the healthcare model, let's like
right.
take all your vitals and here's your prescription,
uh-huh.
and then work with the client to figure out what solution would work for them given their budget and the reality of their culture, do the delivery of that or refer it out to a colleague that might be a better fit for that stage. And then finally, another piece that's important that gets forgotten a lot is evaluation.
Right.
So then checking back and seeing how successful were we, what are the gaps that still remain, what can we learn from this, how are we moving forward? So showing results.
Awesome. Awesome. So what else would you like to tell the people listening to this call today?
Oh my gosh, I have so much to say. You know, I guess expanding the understanding of what diversity is, thinking more creatively around, gee, you know, what are the problems that I'm encountering in my professional life, and even to some extent my personal life, because I can almost guarantee you that there is some communication or diversity mm-hmm. and inclusiveness mm-hmm. Side to that. In fact, I even have a model that I can help clients come up with an actual dollar figure
wow.
of what they're losing or what they're leaving on the table. And the other thing that if folks are interested in checking out my website, I've got a couple videos there that talk about my unique approach to the field of diversity and inclusiveness, right. which is unique.
Right. Great. So if you want to look at Susanna's website, that's at www.SusannaRinderle.com. And that's spelled SusannaRinderle.com because it's a unique spelling of Susanna. At least I think so because my daughter's a Suzanne. And so I'm like, there has to be a Z in there.
It's Spanish. So it's two S's, one N, two A's. But if you misspell it, I've got a lot of those.
She's
will go
got you covered. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, so, and if you want to get in touch with Susanna, go to her website. And she is also on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Google+. So just look her up there. Or you can send her an email to Susanna@SusannaRinderle.com. Thank you so much. I've learned a lot. So
thanks,
this is cool.
Marla.
I learned a lot of new things.
Thanks, me too.